let's bring you here to the Oklahoma History Center. Did you come on as an assistant director, Comprehensive Historic Site Survey, 77, 78? Is that true?
That was one of the consulting projects, but it was with the Oklahoma Historical Society Historic Preservation Office. Dr. Howard Meredith was the staff member for Historic Preservation, but Oklahoma, typical of a lot of national trends, was late coming to the table, saying, yeah, we need historic preservation. Urban renewal had gutted Oklahoma City, had damaged Tulsa. We have highways cutting through neighborhoods doing, you know, what happened in New York City, you know, in the old days. What's happening here? Well, historic preservation was, we can do better. Well, they didn't have staff. Melvina Heisch was the assistant. No more staff. So they were having to contract out. Well, I was able to get one of the contracts to do a survey of downtown Oklahoma City. South 7th, North South, South 7th to from the Santa Fe tracks on the east to Walker on the west, looking at every building, determining its value architecturally, significance, did something happen there that should be significant that we should be aware of? And it was really for the review process. A lot of people think preservation is to tell people, no, it's not. It's to make good decisions. If it's federal funds involved, let's make a good decision on how they're used. That's what preservation is at its fundamental level. So if someone wants a 40% tax credit, I've fought the political battles. We should do what we want. We should be able to put a bar here on top of the roof with spotlights. No. If the federal funds and 40% of it is us taxpayers have a right to say you can't do that because it's not good. So anyway, preservation. So I'm getting in on preservation. And while I'm doing that contract, I get a contract to catch the Chronicles up. There had been a change. The assistant editor couldn't handle it, got behind issues, so they hired my little company and me, largely, to go in. And of course, I've got the work ethic. I knocked out 4 issues of Chronicles in like 6 months.
And Chronicles are what?
The Chronicles of Oklahoma, which is the professional journal, the academic journal of the Historical Society that had been published since 1921. It is the repository of Oklahoma history. If you're going back to study the history of radio, you go to the Chronicles to find out who has written about radio. When I do a book on Sonic America's drive-ins, I go back and find out who's done something on 1950s in rural Oklahoma and why Troy Smith wanted to create that company. So the Chronicles, it was a great learning experience. I could use my English background, my history background, got them out, doing the survey. Everyone thought I worked here, and then there was an opening. The board finally said, we were going to fill that editor's position full-time. I says, I want in. And so I applied for it, got the job in 89, sometime in 89. I think officially they say that I started work in 90 because I was hired as a seasonal or something just to get hired and then started full-time. But it was in the fall of 79 when I became editor. And for 10 years, it's the greatest postdoctoral fellowship I could have had. If I had gone to Chicago for a fellowship or to Pasadena and the Huntington Foundation and done these fellowships, I could not have learned what I did in those 10 years of reading 100 manuscripts a year. So as you'd send in a story about radio, I would read it. And if I chose the 20 to be, I would read them 10 times before they ever came out with print. So I'd check the footnotes. Well, where did they find that information? Whoa, I say, well, that's a pretty creative place to find information. How did they use oral history? How do they structure it? What's this combination of rhythm? Some were good writers, some were not, but I might find a topic I'll never forget. Got one on the swinging bridges over the Red River. At a time before government could build bridges, entrepreneurs would build these bridges across. And it was a good topic. I said, I love it, but it was crazy organized, and writing was marginal. So I'd rewrite these things. So I would do that. And I was learning in those 10 years. At the same time, networking, still doing consulting, writing books, trying to make a living with my Debbie off work at home with the kid, renovating houses, trying to add some value there, using the cash from books and my consulting to buy the next load of supplies to keep working on homes. But those 10 years from 79 to 89 were critical. Plus, I survived 5 executive directors, hired and fired. Schizophrenic organization. Do we keep things as they always have been? where a few people get to play in their little sandbox and collect and enjoy? Or do we really become an outreach organization trying to sell history to the public? Some board members wanted it, some didn't. Fighting. Several executive directors could not survive those fights and went down. I was observing, and I was learning, and learning about the community and local politics, because we had well over 30 museums and sites scattered around the state, some in Little Dixie, some in the Cherokee Outlet, some in Cherokee Country. So I was learning through working with those groups. What are the dynamics here? What are the shifting sands? And so by 89, I was in a good position of having learned both history and the community and the nature of politics and government.
So you worked your way on then as the deputy executive director.
Right. I applied for that. They hired a new executive director who had been the deputy director, so he's elevated.
And who was that?
Blake Wade.
Okay.
And Blake was career military, journalism background, strong personality, and an outgoing personality. He could have made $1 million as a salesperson. He just had that ability and would later do that with the Centennial. When he would eventually leave, he would go to be the staff person for the Centennial and then for the First American Families Museum. But Blake was the director. He was there. And we talked, and they hired me to be his deputy. He did not have a history degree, but he understood how to do the politics, because the Army is the greatest bureaucracy in the world. And you have to deal with bureaucracy and government, and it's there for a reason. It's to protect public resources. It's to serve. So Blake understood that. He understood how to do that, and he was jovial. People loved him. They liked being with him. Well, the board and he understood we need history guy, too. What are the collections we go for? How do we structure this? How do we improve our museums? How do we engage the public? Needed a salesman slash historian. Well, that was me. So I apply, and so I'm bumped up into the administration. I retained the title of editor for another 10 years, even though I had great assistant editors, and I eventually called them associate editor because they were doing most of the work. Mary Ann Bleoviak was the grain one. In others, but I'm trying to keep my foot in the world of history as well as government and administration, collections, and I'm still doing books. So I'm still writing a book about on the average of every 2 years, and that's at night, weekends, and holidays.
I should say that I've interviewed Blake Wade for Voices of Oklahoma, and you can search his remarkable life on our website.